she looking out the window for oil?
As Florida defends its coast from approaching oil, the U.S. Coast Guard is working every day to monitor the location of the spill. One local crew has been assigned to map the spill for several weeks. They share the data with the EPA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and other organizations involved in monitoring the spill. Petty Officer Robert Simpson says the Coast Guard is specially trained to handle environmental protection.
So it's been ingrained in the Coast Guard, for so long, and it's something that we have been working towards. Something of this magnitude, this scale, isn't something that they typically, respond to, as nobody really has. But it's definitely something that we are responding and putting a massive effort towards.
Simpson says the Coast Guard has worked on environmental disasters for decades.
And we do work with environmental disasters that happen, oil spills, even from the most minor, through the National Response Center. Even to the most major, especially considering with the Exxon Valdez, Costco Buzon incidents just in recent history.
While many in the Coast Guard got sick from flying close to the spill and its fumes, Lieutenant Brian Boland isn't too concerned since his C-130 plane is flying at an altitude of about 1,500 to 17,000 feet.
We tend to stay high enough. Our altitude keeps us clear of most of the, if there are fumes and particles that are in the air. But if we were flying low, the C-130, to pressurize, we suck air from the outside for our engines and for pressurization and air conditioning. So if we were low for a while, it might be a concern. And we've got guidance on what exactly we're supposed to do if we've got prolonged exposure to it. But generally, we're staying high enough that the air that we're in is pretty clear.
The Clearwater Air Station is sending up at least one C-130 plane and two H-60 helicopters daily to monitor the spill. Boland has only been on the mission a few days, but the Clearwater resident says that actually seeing the spill really hit home.
You're kind of removed from it until it hits home. And for me, I lived in Pensacola for about a year. So seeing those pictures of, oil and tar balls and washing up on the beach in Pensacola kind of drives it home. And then, obviously being in Pinellas County here with the air station, we're a beach community. So as it keeps spreading, the kind of fear starts growing and just how big the spill will get.
Co-piloting the C-130 was Lieutenant Commander Scott Murphy. He suggested that the wake of Hurricane Alex may have caused rough seas, slowing skimming operations and the effectiveness of chemical dispersants, but said the Coast Guard missions were not affected.
It's been raining, but other than that, it hasn't been too terribly challenging. These guys get bumped around pretty good a few days ago, but it's nothing that the mighty C-130 can't handle.
Clear skies have made finding the oil far easier as clouds and rain have obscured visibility in the last few days. Contrasting with waves washing up parallel to the shoreline, the shimmering oil sheen looked like thin ribbons perpendicular to the coast. They lined up side by side, reflecting sunshine brighter than the surrounding water. Using search and rescue cameras and radar, the crew can collect useful data about the size of the spill. Petty Officer Eric Hemme noted that the sea state has made oil more difficult to see.
We're seeing ribbons of oil. They're a lot thinner than usual due to the sea surface state of 6 to 8 feet waves.
The mission covered about 80 square miles of the spill, and co-pilot Lieutenant Brian Willen said that most of the oil was seen by barrier islands near Louisiana.
And it was right when we got to Chandelure Sound here. There's some offshore islands, and you could really see like that red oil that you've been seeing on the news that was starting to wash up. And then there was all the skimming, and that's where the boats were sitting at. And then flying back this way, the Coast Guard guys on board that kind of have a better eye for this sort of thing, you could see the sheens off of Pensacola. Probably once we got about east of Pensacola, it started dying down. By Panama City, we really couldn't see it as much, but there's still some out there.
It's hard for the Coast Guard to tell which way the spill is moving, since they mainly track the spill day to day, while NOAA forecasts the spill's direction.
By Pensacola, it was less visible, but it's definitely still down there. And if you're on a boat down there, I had no doubt that you were going to see it. But we're kind of training ourselves as we go on what to look for, as far as do you look for sheens, do you look for streaks, clear spots, dark spots. And, with seaweed and clouds and the waves out there, it plays tricks on your eyes a little bit. But I think right after today, I'm pretty sure we have a good idea what we're looking for. And for the guys that got to see it, this is where you saw the heaviest was these offshore islands off of Louisiana.
Weather conditions can be problematic for the crew's ability to find the oil, but Willand says their equipment can still provide useful data.
It's easier to see closer to land as it starts pooling. You know, it gets thicker as it keeps getting washed ashore. But when you're offshore, depending on the sea state, the winds, where the sun is, you know, one day it looks like a dark spot, then the next day if the sun's shining off it, it looks like it's a light spot. So it's we got some good data, and the radar tracking that we got, we covered about 80 square miles today. So that's information that they'll be able to use, and that gave us some concrete data that we're going to forward on here in the next couple minutes. And then visually, it definitely helped. We've got some marine science technicians that have been flying with us, and they're kind of honing their skills because this is new for a lot of us.
According to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, more than 2,000 animals have died from the oil spill, and about 400 have been cleaned and released into safe waters. Robert Simpson says that Coast Guard vessels are often used to safely release surviving wildlife.
We're providing the platform to release the wildlife. So once the wildlife that's been affected by the oil has been taken to the right places and actually been able to be cleaned and be ready to be released, it's coordinated through the unified commands, and a lot of times the Coast Guard's used with our assets, our available aircraft and boats. We use them to actually be able to release them back to an area that hasn't been affected.